There's a tradition that we have at our house when we all sit down to eat a meal. And maybe you observe this tradition in your home at mealtime also. At our house, when we gather for dinner, we try to wait for everybody to arrive, to all be seated together before we eat. Sometimes we have to wait a little bit. Someone was working on a project outside. They're still cleaning up. And others are sitting at the table while they're still washing up. Sometimes someone's finishing up a phone call and will be there shortly. And so we sit and wait at the table for the last person to come. What we are saying when we do this is this meal can't begin until everybody is here at the table. We eat together, all of us. In this supper, we are waiting for someone to join us at the table. The table declares the death of Jesus for sinners. His death, his execution death, the felony penalty that was imposed on him. We remember his death with this meal. But though we eat this meal with Jesus spiritually, his presence is here, in another sense, we are eating this meal without Jesus, without his physical presence. As we eat this meal, Jesus says, we declare his death until he comes. There's another appearance of Jesus, not the resurrection appearance, his second coming. That appearance we are still waiting for in this meal. He says that we declare his death until he comes in the supper. He's speaking of his physical body, his bodily return in glory and in judgment when he will come to us, when all tears will be wiped away, when all wrongs will be set right, when the dead will be returned to life. So in this sense, as we eat this meal, we're eating, waiting at the table for the most important person still to join us. In this meal, we take bread. The bread is the body of Jesus in a true spiritual sense. In this meal, we take the wine. The wine is the blood of Jesus in a true spiritual sense. When you take the supper, you're declaring Jesus came and he's yet to come again. He's not fully at the table in the physical sense. He came, though, at one time in his first coming, his first appearing. He lived well. He died. He lived righteously in my place. He died as punishment in my place. He lived and died for me. In faith, I believe it. I receive it. And now I'm going to feed on it. Jesus arranged this supper. It's not something we came up with. He commanded that we do it. He said, do this in remembrance of me, and I will feed you as you do it. So if you have come to know Jesus in this way, as he's presented in the gospel, and if you are a member in good standing of a gospel-believing church, we invite you to take this supper. If you're here with us and you don't know Jesus in this way, we invite you to stay with us. We are glad that you're here. Stay here with us, but don't take the supper. It would not help you. And we're happy to talk more about what we're doing, what we mean, what we believe. Stay with us. We invite you. But don't take the supper. Now, let's pray together. Lord, we set aside the bread, the wine, and we ask that you would make this spiritually to become for us the blood of Jesus shed for our sins, the body of Jesus given for us. We pray you would nourish the good work that you've begun in us and that you will surely perfect in us. We eat with anticipation. We eat with the expectation and the confidence that the change and transformation you've begun in us, taking us as sinners, rebels, enemies, you are making us to be a holy people so that our anger no longer dominates us. Our despair and our hatred and our unbelief no longer rules us, so that we who loved only ourselves start to more fully love you and love others. And it will be what fully characterizes us on the day that you finish the last stroke of your masterwork in your people. We eat with hope. Further that good work in us through this supper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.